This is the secret room for Robert Johnson, Oscar Johnson. And my name is Kat. I'm from the campaign to end the death penalty that's putting on this art exhibit, The Human Face of Death Row. I have solidarity messages from Death Row, the first from Kevin Cooper, who did the artwork out front and around the corner, who's an innocent man on San Quentin Death Row. The statement is from Kevin Cooper, and it's entitled, One People. From here at San Quentin Prison, the modern-day plantation, I, Kevin Cooper, am writing this message for the family and for the Justice for Oscar Grant movement. I send my utmost respect and support to all of you who are fighting for truth, justice, and accountability. Throughout the history of this country, innocent men, women, and children have sadly been murdered by the hands of the government. Whether they be shot down in the street like Oscar Grant, or tortured and murdered in prison like Stanley Tippy Williams. While many people still don't understand, care, or want to know how these types of murders are connected, we still must tell them in hopes that one day they will open their eyes to the truth. James Anderson, who has done this artwork here, also sent solidarity message for Oscar's family and for the community. He has a poster marquee for a theater play that he would like that he's in the process of writing called I Don't Have to Die, and there's many names of black and brown men and women that have been murdered by police on this marquee, including Oscar Grant. And he says if there is ever a time and a need for solidarity in California and America, it is now. If the system is ever to grant us just us for the public execution of our young brother Oscar Grant, it will require the continued unity of the community, and there are no acceptable excuses for not continuing the public protests, rally, and attendance of every courtroom hearing. I won't read the whole thing to you, but so those are the solidarity messages from these men whose art you see on the wall. Thank you.
And I need to say, you know, I want to thank the establishment for having the artwork for them that are incarcerated and for allowing us to be able to come and share this night about Oscar. My good friend, JR, the Minister of Information, has been a tremendous support. And I'd like to have him come up for a second. And he has a... I'm going to let him talk to you about a video that he has put together for us since day one of this incident. But before we actually do the video, I want to bring up, I'm going to allow D-Knock in there. Where are
you going? You want to test this?
Oh, he had to move his car?
That might be right there. D-Knock and Ozone? Is D-Knock and Ozone right there?
On here.
I think they got their own mic.
Right here.
Oh, he's
okay. Here. Yeah, I think they got a mic they brought themselves. Okay, they're silence of violence. And
we can just do two songs right now. We got to shake.
Okay. So they're going to do two songs right now, and then they're going to take off.
Yeah, just drop that. Yeah, just drop that. Yeah, I can see it all great.
Did you need a mic?
Oh, yeah, we need a microphone. I mean, we don't even need no microphone, really. There's a lot of people in here.
Okay.
Can y'all hear me?
Yeah.
Can y'all hear me?
Yeah.
Oh, man, I just thought y'all couldn't hear me. Hello. I'm D'Angelo.
That's great. Yeah,
yo.
Yeah,
I'm
we'll be playing the CD from the audio, the background lyrics.
Man.
Whatever you need.
Just make sure everything don't fall out of it.
So I can play from a computer? I can go get my laptop.
You play it from the computer.
Anybody have a laptop in here?
When I say shackles, you say chains. Shackles and
chains.
Shackles and
chains.
When we say shackles, I just said chains. Shackles and
chains.
Shackles and chains. Shackles and chains.
Shackles and chains.
Shackles and chains.
Shackles and chains.
Listen to me, keen. Shackles and chains, them want to mash up all we brain. What have we feel the same? Send we up the lane. What? Them can't make it, cause Jah Jah wouldn't take it. No. With the vining at the heart, I know the past, them can't remake it. So take that. Do you it open before me have to open up all our minds.
Start to move it.
The right party are we chosen. That no said they're losing. Hold us don't feel long. But the truth is to be proven. Them want to drop a virus in a your mainframe. That no said they're playing a shame game. So get lost. Cause the past them can't change. The past can rearrange. We burn them every day. Yo, but don't fret. Them can't catch the knowledge where we get.
Knowledge will never change.
Past them can't forget so.
They're playing a shame game.
Shackles and chains will get a rain. When we say shackles, all you say chains.
Shackles and
chains.
Shackles and
chains.
When we say shackles, all you please say chains. Shackles and
chains.
Shackles and
chains.
It's the balls and the bits and the whips and the chains. Corrupting our minds, polluting our brain. This is your shame. Life in no gang. Here we go. Fortune and fame. Force of evil making us fight. Making us kill. Making us steal. Parents dying. Teachers lying. The same TV. This life is real. Fighting for the money, but ain't fighting for the freedom. And the boys is just gonna beat them and defeat them and delete them. Better watch your back when you walk at night, they shoot guns. They ain't gonna fight. Back in the day, they KKK lock us up through the key away.
Ripped us up with whips
and they shackled us in chains. Made us work on plantations.
Trials and tribulations.
Excruciating
pain.
It's more than I can explain. Like gorillas in a cage.
Cause we can't be tamed.
Back in the day, as a youngster trying to get paid. Hustling to the hard times in the bay. The uncles had me lost in the flame. No, the jokers left me lost in his game. Two false advertising, losing time spent. Mind bit, time gets to my lost way. As I reminisce, it wasn't my life I wanted to live.
Now,
to my community,
I wanted to give. Back a chance.
That was a glide memorial with my mom. On this before she died.
Oh, that overdose.
She showed me and told me the facts of life, yeah. Before I had a chance to show her she died. So we have to save ourselves. We need to
revitalize in hell.
What wealth destroys kings and queens.
I see the dream.
America. America.
When we say shockers.
All you say chains,
shackles and
chains,
shackles and
chains.
When we say shackles, all you
please say chains,
shackles and
chains,
shackles and
them shy youths, indoctrination, bun me brain.
On your brain,
to make me feel weak, but we are kings, we
still reign.
I could never be changed, fire still ablaze. Mind what you say, cause you don't want to get burned.
No,
them want to put up on me, want to put up on you, want to mash up
all me crew.
Them put gun upon me,
them put gun upon you,
them put gun.
Shackles and chains.
We mash up every brain. Send me up the lane. We say
shackles and
chains. Them want to put on me brain. Shackles and chains. We have to mash up every brain. Send me up the lane. We say
shackles and chains. Thank you.
Bonnie thought.
All right, I'm just going to do a little spoken word piece that I dropped and everything. I said, for a new life, there's death. Can y'all hear me first and foremost?
Yeah.
Can you hear me?
Yeah.
All right. For a new life, there's death. Believing that now, as I visualize the rose emerge out of the cracks on the street curve. In no hesitation, I snag it. Then the thorns afflict blood down my palms. As I transmit out of my youth to prophesize the truth, a scholar observing what's right, so divine lines keep y'all stuck, shrugged from my childhood, cause I had to get it. Influences was the flocking of birds, and how smooth them brothers was with them words. So I obtained the passion, turfed out with a fashion. Only thought is the cashing, a deceased president's infatuation keeps my brothers in defense. But sustaining all this stress throughout my flesh evolving is my test. So I snag the pit of my soul, then behold the birth. Thank y'all, and we silent survivors.
Oh,
So right before I let JR talk about the video he put together, I want to talk a little bit about the case, or maybe even ask him some questions if you have some. But I'm sure everybody is aware right at this moment in time that the change of venue has been granted. You know, and so on behalf of the family, you know, we're hurt. You know, we are displeased with that. But we do truly believe that we can still get this victory. To me, it was a direct attack on our First Amendment right to speak to the injustice that occur in this society, especially Alameda County. You know, if you have a chance to get and read the motion that Reigns submitted for the change of venue, you will become extremely educated to the history of this county and what was by design to where we at today. So it behooves all of us to become knowledgeable so that as we act and speak, we're doing it with the knowledge of why we know we're doing it. You know, let's let it be understood as a community that we're going to fight for our rights. Right. And I think this is just the beginning of history being set. You know, I heard it once said that as go California, especially Alameda County, as go the U.S. Because as we know, many activist groups have started here in this Bay Area. Now, I'm no historian, you know, and nor have I really been involved in many different organizations when it comes to being an activist in the community, but I've been enlightened, and I've been taught, and I come to realize and believe today that that's what we stand for in this county. You know, and so I believe JR's video, matter of fact, I'll just let him speak to that himself. This is JR, the Minister of Information.
I just first off want to, you know, thank Uncle Bobby, thank Jack Bryson for giving us the opportunity to show the film. Thank the community in general of Oakland that has been leading the resistance, those that were in the streets during the rebellion, to those that have worked on many other different levels also, the legal level, the, you know, the protest level. So I just want to give a shout out to that. I know that there's always a lot of criticisms that people have as to why this isn't happening and why that's not happening. I just want to give the compliment out there first that we're doing damn good, you know, and we're making history out here. Not to say we don't have a long road ahead of us, but, you know, I do see that we're making progress. So again, I'm the Minister of Information, JR. I'm with the Organization of Prisoners of Conscience Committee. I'm here with Angela, who edited our film. It's called Operation Small Acts. And what's ironic about the film, it started off actually where that film ended. It's, you know, that ended with the execution of Oscar Grant, or starts kind of with the execution actually. This cut, it's a little different, but it really starts off with it. And you know, I'm one of the 100, Oakland 100, who's fighting the case. As a response to the Oakland Rebellion, if we go to court, or I go to court October 30th, there's still two more besides me that are fighting cases right now. Andrew Lewis and Holly, I don't know her last name, but fighting cases. But this is Operation Small Acts. We're here to answer any questions. But you know, you've seen what the family is going through, and we standing with them. And this right here is a film on the resistance.
Thank you. Colonizing action of imperialists worldwide have created global ghettos, occupied spaces in which the citizens have no choice but to resist or become cannon fodder for outside agendas. There's little real difference in the lived reality between apartheid South Africa, Palestine, and Oakland, California. These are the scenes of long-waged wars of resistance. These are the sites of battles waged to stay in existence as self-ordered human beings. This is the Block Report, Operation Small Axe.
I'm the Minister of Information, Block Report Radio, of the Prisoners of Conscience Committee. Block Report Radio is our vehicle in which we fight the enemies of our community, of our people. The enemy of our people is the people that's oppressing us, whether they come in the form of corporations, governments, military, police, nonprofits. Gaza, Soweto, Oakland, California. What's the difference? What's the similarities, the common threads? Police occupation, military occupation for our community. JR. Today we're going to be talking about the case of Oscar Grant, the police murder of Oscar Grant at Fruitvale Bar Station in Oakland.
Some of the worst rioting the region has seen in years. Police for calm in California ignored and boiled over the controversial police shooting.
Rioters busted windows, set fires, and pounced on police cars. One woman tried to defend the
police. How do you feel about the origins of the police forces being slave catchers? And now you are walking through Oakland, a black man wearing a slave catcher uniform. How do you feel about that?
Well, I don't agree with you.
You don't agree with the fact that Harriet Tubman had to run her ass through a fucking trench full of shit? You don't agree that you shouldn't wear that fucking uniform? Are you kidding?
The system has killed, you know, all black men in Oakland.
See, you lollygagging, Dallas. You lollygagging, man. You lollygagging, man. Call for some charges. Yeah. I'm scared walking on the streets.
Yeah. I ain't afraid of anybody walking, bro.
You gonna be?
Then they handcuffed me like this.
Then they handcuffed my wrist to my ankles and start kicking me all up in here, right?
What? That boy didn't do nothing. They shot him in his back while he was trying to subdue him, and all he was handcuffed. Come on now, here he had handcuffs on. That dude had his fucking feet in his fucking neck.
We fight against the system, the big trees. We the small legs. We the oppressed peoples.
JR is a brother that I've been knowing that's been down with the struggle for years. He's the Minister of Information, and he did an article in the Bayview about my incident with the police.
Jail, master, lady killer, cops.
Sure that some perjury was involved in what happened today.
judge stating on the record that it borders on recklessness for J.R. to stand up for his rights and defend himself when he's not guilty shows what kind of justice people can expect from this system that I believe is criminal for its injustice. We've just seen that today.
The judge told me I was reckless because I didn't plead to a lesser charge, and I'm not pleading to no lesser charge because I'm innocent.
Yeah, I read for the paper. He was covering what was going on.
I'm not pleading no charge. I'm innocent, we gonna fight it. It's just really a shame that I gotta fight a case for eight months that I'm completely innocent of, and they know that I'm innocent of.
And of course the police been at jail a long time. And only thing we do is stand up and fight it.
Y'all around the world, oppressive governments, the white power definitely wanted to attack to eventually assassinate you, as you can see in the case of Steve Biko, Patrice Lumumba, Malcolm X, Huey P. Newton. At the end of February 2009, we celebrated the birthday of Oscar Grant, who was killed by the police, and we were raising money for his daughter.
We're basically right now in a turbulent, very turbulent time with a lot of things going on. So we're getting infiltrated right now because this Oscar Grant movement and whatnot, they find it like a loophole. They find it like a kick in our armor because of all of this activity around his brother getting caught on tape dying at the hands of the police. So now they're feeling like his rules have been agents, provocateurs, and police informants, FBI informants, and other people into our organization.
Agent provocateur, self-confessed agent provocateur, Mandingo Hayes, came and started a fight to disrupt, discredit, and neutralize, possibly get people caught up in cases. He did all this to crush the movement of resistance that's going on against city government and the police in Oakland with the people versus police and the city government.
See, we got things called agent provocateurs and shit, you know what I'm saying? See, provocateurs. I don't know which one of the provocateurs. I know one of them is, though, for sure. It's supposed to be about unity. Motherfuckers bringing that bullshit in here.
This is Older Black Panther, Mandingo Hayes. Chairman Mandingo Hayes. New Black Panther, Mandingo Hayes. Older Big Black Panther, Mandingo Hayes.
This is why our shit gets fucked up. Motherfuckers want to infiltrate and show up. And get out some bullshit.
Let his actions speak about what he thought of the racial profiling in our community.
My
song was love.
There was something behind this pain. There was something behind this anger. There was something behind this frustration and his fear. There was something there. And there certainly was a human being. And that was a brother who he shouldn't have lost.
To go out like that, he was a straight up soldier. His mama didn't raise no punk.
They were keeping it mixed straight up.
So we can stop and pray for this brother right here. Because we loved him too.
R.I.P. He's Stalking King and his second verse, man. Straight up.
This time, instead of the Gaza Strip in the Middle East, we're talking about the MacArthur Strip in East Oakland. Instead of the occupation force of the Israelis in Palestine and the Americans in Iraq or Afghanistan, the low-income black community, ETF and DEA, to name a few. Instead of a suicide bomber or a sniper holed up in a building, Lavelle turned out to be a suicide sniper who used a gun instead of a bomb to take out enemies of the community.
You don't see no tears, no, none. Ain't nobody crying out here.
The reality is, when you go to the scene, which I did a number of times, you see very few residents of the area, specifically young black males, with any sympathy for the officers, because for decades, Oakland police officers have ran rampant over the black community, including Dunnigan, one of the ones killed, who was the sheriff who patrolled North Oakland, wreaking hell on young black males.
Y'all better be cool. They ain't there.
Y'all can represent Lavelle Mixon.
represent Oscar Grant out there on your territory, and so that the resistance struggle could be internationally, and we could be included in y'all mind frame and y'all international analysis, just like y'all included in our international analysis. Black Report, Operation Small X, until the full-length movie, man, we out.
I just wanted to point out the director. He got a town right now, so it's me and the editor, Angela Lee. Y'all clap up for Angela too. Y'all got any questions, comments, anything?
Let me get this. You heard J.R. talk about justifiable homophobia.
The action of imperialists worldwide.
Justifiable homicide by the police. Well, one of the things that we discovered, especially this last week in the change of venue, was what is really occurring here in the state of California. You know, and we need to know this. In the past 10 years, how many, over 1,000 some black and brown men have been killed by Oakland police? We're talking about an average of 10 per month that is considered justifiable killings. That's just here in the state of California. We're not talking about the United States, you know. We need to take a look at that. You know, this issue about police brutality and the killing of men, especially of color, in Oakland, has to be spoken to. This information in the history that Raines laid forth needs to become a tool for us to bring about this change that needs to come about because of this terror that's been brought on this community since the 60. You know, if there's any questions, you know, let us try to answer some, because this was really all about an update on the case. You know, it's strange how this happened to me. We began to plan this about a month and a half ago, almost 2 months ago this night, October the 16th. And I said this would be an opportunity to give the community an update on the case and where we at. As you know, last week we went to trial all week for the change of venue issue. And then today we get a decision. Did they know about this? Was this by design? You know, was this brought today right at 4 o'clock, actually 3 o'clock, to disturb me, disturb the family, agitate this night? The community. We have to be wise in the way things occur as this process continues. Because as far as I'm concerned, some are by design to incite anger, to create some form of violence from this community to say, I told you so.
I just want to share something with you. Just looking at that video is real hard, because like Wanda said, she asked them to catch Bart, and then a couple of the young men, including my two, you know, my sons and a couple of other young men, they came to my house. And I asked them not to go to San Francisco. I asked them not to go, not because of the people on the streets, because I was just feeling something about the police officers that night. I mean, as a parent, you get that intuition feeling about something. So, you know, just looking at that video, it's just hard, you know. And then, you know, and this is what bothers me. You know, they're worrying about Medley's safety. They're saying, but his family, his safety, okay. But what about the young men who survived this murder? What about their safety? You know, my two sons, the other young men, they're worried about Medley's safety. Now, we know police like to retaliate. You know, I'm trying to say, it's on the tip of my tongue, you know, just, you know, I'm worried about the other young men, you know, about what's going to happen. But, you know, I just want to share something with you. You know, like, if I look at Oscar, if I look at that video, and, like, tell him the stories, you know, I mean, when I met Oscar, he told me, you know, don't trip that he was going to take care of my sons, because my sons had moved from Chicago, and then that's how I met Oscar. I was, you know, worried as a parent about my sons, and, you know, I met Oscar, he told me, you know, don't trip that he was going to look after him. And on that platform, that's what Oscar Grant did. He looked after everyone on that platform. You know, so then I remember one time me and my son, we went to go get a burrito after Oscar was murdered, and we were sitting there talking, and it was quiet. And my son did a burrito, and he was just, my son Nigel, he was just saying, Dad, I remember one time, I just want to tell you how Oscar was. He was like, Dad, I remember one time I was walking through Hayward like at 4:30 in the morning, and I said, what the? F you was doing out at 4:30 in the morning anyway. And he goes, Dad, I was walking through the little mall. And he said, out of nowhere, Uncle Bobby said, he likes to fly around in his car. And so then Nigel said, all of a sudden, 4:30 in the morning, this car pulls up, and it was Oscar Grant. And he tells my son, he called him cousin, he said, get in the car. So my son got in the car with him, and then he was like, not yelling at him, but just like schooling him. He was like, man, what you doing out at 4:30 in the morning, man? You know it ain't cool. You know, Oscar was just letting him have it. And Nigel was like, he gets irritated. He was like, man, just take me home. And Oscar was like, nah, you coming with me for the rest of the night. So he went with Oscar till about 8 o'clock in the morning. He said, they didn't get no sleep. Oscar was just talking all night, all night. And then Nigel was falling asleep. He said, come on, man, I got to take you home. So he was just on Nigel all night. So then Nigel said when he dropped him off, Nigel was just mad, but in a good way. So when Nigel got out the car and he said, hey, little cousin, I know you're mad at me. And I know I irritated you all night, but you know I've got nothing but love for you. So Nigel said he got out the car, slammed the door, and Oscar pulled off. You know, and then another time, like my son, he said, they used to drive around, and every time they'd have the music loud, they'd be doing their thing. And when Oscar's mother would call Wanda, Oscar would be like, turn the music down. Then when he would answer the phone, he would say, hey, mother, you know, talk real properly. You know, gave his mother nothing but respect. That's the kind of young man Oscar was, you know. Hey, I remember when he had the baby. I seen him at 7-Eleven. I was looking for my son. So I said it again. Me and Oscar, we talked about life for about 45 minutes to an hour. You know, just how he wanted to change, you know. You know, he just wanted to do the right thing. You know, he was a good dude. And as I look at that video, man, life is a trip. I look at that video, and, you know, I'm witnessing history. You know, Oscar Grant is history because Oscar Grant is going to change history. 3 months later, 4 officers get killed, and then I hear Lavelle Mixon. I was like, damn, Lavelle Mixon. Turned out, I went to school with Lavelle Mixon's father. 7th grade, all the way to high school. Me and his uncles. And just, man, life is just a trip, you know. So.
I owe much love to Jack because when the incident first occurred, the family, myself, was a total blur. And I really don't remember. I wasn't even really a part of some of the events that transpired in that first month because I was, you know, caught up in my emotions concerning the loss of Oscar. Now, Oscar was very dear to me. You know, on that same night, you know, of course, his mother's birthday was December 31st, you know, and she was able to spend her birthday with her son and really enjoy him that night, and she still talks about him and his family. And myself, you know, and my wife, was the church, and we decided to go out and eat. And while we were eating, I remember saying, you know what, I'm going to text Oscar. Well, text him. And I text Oscar at 12:49, telling him that I love him, that God loves him, and God loves his family. And as we know, an hour later, he was killed. You know, and what comes to me about that is that when someone is put on your heart, make contact with that person. Because what I've discovered, what we've discovered, is that that may be their last day. We don't know. Only God knows our time. You know, so if you love, if you have nephews and nieces, if you have sons and daughters, you know, even mothers and fathers, you know, you have them, you know, and you haven't told them that you love them, tell them. Let them know how you feel. Because you don't want to go to sleep and think, if I had only told them how much I loved them and what they've done. You know, this is a lesson for all of us. And I've been told in my spirit to tell you that because I am thankful that I had the opportunity to tell my nephew that I love him. So I'm not in excruciating pain because God allowed me to let that go. But what I do today is speak for him because he can't speak for himself. You know, and what I found is that the community is also speaking for him because he can't speak for himself. Many of us are going to have different ways of how we're going to express that. It just so happens that we come from a family that is more like Martin Luther King, you know, turn the other cheek. You know, not saying that's necessarily right, but there are also many of us that are like Malcolm X. You hit me, I'm gonna hit you right back. So whatever it takes to get justice has to be done. For some it's gonna be turning the cheek, and for others it's gonna be hitting back. You know, and we have to look at where we at in our spirit and the stance that we take and the way that we take it. We as a family don't advocate violence, but of course I can't tell people how to express their own feelings. We as a family stand on the word of God. I can't tell you to love the God that I love, but I can say as a family, we love this God that we have in our life. You know, I can say that we believe in prayer and know God answers prayer, you know, and maybe some of you don't and feel that it has to be taken in your own hands. We all have to stand on what we believe that works for us. We see this case through our spiritual eyes. I'm talking about the family of Oscar, and I'm sure as many of you too that may see this case through your spiritual eyes. We know justice will be served. Now, it may not be served in a sense, in the earthly sense, where I can see it happening. But we know that justice will be served. But I really want God to come down and show out and let us all see by merely going to jail.
That's right.
Yeah. So that's my prayer. Karen, did you want...
Cameron served with the campaign to the death penalty. And one thing that I had a question, actually. Yeah. Well, the question basically is that tomorrow, it's an announcement and a question. Tomorrow is the Stanton Williams Legacy event here at Board of Civics, so I want people to be able to come back for that. But we're also here fighting for the living, as well as for the people who have been, who have fallen. And next Friday, Kevin Cooper will be speaking live from death row. My question is this. Jack, I know that you actually had a chance to visit with Kevin. I wanted to know what that exchange was like when you were talking with Kevin about this case and what it means to build that kind of inside-outside solidarity with the people who produce this artwork you see around you, but also what we're trying to do here today.
I had the honor of and the pleasure of meeting Kevin Cooper 2 weeks ago. And when I first got to death row, you know, I was interested in death row, but I hate myself, but I was kicking myself because when Stanley Tucci Williams was on death row, it bothered me. You know, I followed it, but, you know, I followed it. But that night he was executed, I didn't go up there, and I always said, now I want to meet that man. You know, he was nominated for Nobel Peace Prize. The man was just great, you know. And I didn't go through, and I'm just like, I should have went through. So then the opportunity came to meet Kevin Cooper. So when I got to San Quentin, I was like in a daze. I was like, man, this is where Geronimo Pratt was. This is where Huey Newton was. This is where Tukey Williams was. And it felt good. But then when me, Pat, and Crystal, when we got there, I had a panic attack. Because the cage that they put you in is like from the wall and the ceiling. The cage is up there. And I was like, shit, I'm not going in there. My heart started beating hard. I was nervous. And then just being surrounded by the guards, that was even more nervous. But then once I seen Pat and Crystal sitting in there. And then Kevin came in there. And I just, wow. I seen, that's Kevin Cooper. And he came. We met. He gave me a hug. And the first thing he said is, man, I'm sorry for Oscar. And to Oscar's mother, you know. Tell Oscar I'm sorry. I mean, tell Wanda and you that, you know, he's sorry for everything that went on. So the experience was great. Then we started talking for like two hours just talking. And then he said something about Tukey Williams. I asked him a question. I said, man, how big was Tukey Williams? He said, he was big. And all I wanted to do was talk about Tukey, and he didn't mind. And I was just asking questions about Tukey. And then he was saying, you know, him and Barbara sat right there before, and I was just amazed, you know. And then he stopped. He said, man, Tukey was a good dude. He broke down. Like, you know, they didn't have to do that to Tukey. So we started talking. And then I said, he tells me he played basketball. I said, can you dunk? He said, nah. Then he went back to Tukey. He was like, man, Tukey was a hell of a basketball player. He was saying, man, Tukey was so big, you couldn't get around him. You couldn't do nothing. He said, I said, how tall he was? All I wanted to know, like, man, how tall was he? What color was his eyes? What did Tukey eat? You know, just because believe it or not, those are great men, like Tukey, Mumia, and Kevin Cooper, Troy Davis. You know, I don't know how they do it with their life on death row. And, you know, Kevin Cooper, what really got me is in 2004, he said, 10 people came to line him up. They were going to execute him that day. And he said, they brought him down there. They were asking him questions like, what do you want for your last meal? And I'm like, excuse my language. I'm like, fuck, how do you want to eat your last meal? You're about to die. So he said, this is the kind of things that he said it was, excuse me for saying this, but he said it was 10 white men that brought him out. And then he said, he came this close to death. Give me your arms, Bobby. He said, the guy got in his face and said, you're not going to give us no problem, huh? And he's like, he couldn't believe the guy asked him, you're about to execute me, you're asking me if I'm about to give you problems. You know, and so this is how close he came to. They were playing with his veins, getting ready to kill him. Then he got the call that, you know, they didn't execute him. So I started thinking, then I told him, I said, man, in a sense, you and Oscar came the same way. Just Oscar, you know, he was executed within seconds. He wasn't even judged. This guy played juror, you know, but that was an experience, you know. So through that experience, what I want to say is, like, while we're out here enjoying freedom, while we get to look at the stars, the ocean, the skies, to drive, to eat, them young men who are in there don't even get the opportunity to do that. And when I was in there, I understand that for each death row inmate, I think when they hold them, it's like $1 million. And I counted like 20 young men. So that's $20 million. So now I understand what this game is about. It's not about justice. It's about money.
Oh, yeah.
You know, so that's why we have to stand up and start fighting that. So, thank you.
All right.
want to recognize that Barbara Becknell is actually here. Stand.
Tomorrow,
so please come back tomorrow.
You know, like Barbara, I watched the movie Redemption, so she is, I guess I don't want to say that she's the shit, you know, because the way she stood up to the people and she stood up to the government, that's how we should stand up to the police for Oscar Grant.
That's right. JR's going to have to take off. I'm going to let him share some before he leaves.
I just wanted to tell everybody with the film we got, we want to be part of the campaign, or we are a part of the campaign as the San Francisco Daily newspaper and the Block Report. We're looking for places to show this all over California. Mm-hmm. So if y'all got places in Fresno, you know, Humboldt County, Marin, Concord, you know, every county you can think of, if you know somebody who's willing to show it to more than five people, get up with us and we'll make sure that we hook up a showing for it. And see who's available that we can bring to update the case. Because, you know, what we want to do is look forward and fight. And just because he got took out of here doesn't mean we lost. Right. You know what I'm saying? I think we just need to look at it as an opportunity for us to expand our movement, which really has been kind of local. And, you know, I want to make it their biggest mistake to take it out of here. You know, so, you know, get up with us, San Francisco, baby, newspaper. And, you know, you can get in touch with me through the newspaper.
Thank you, JR. I don't know if you had heard in the video when Safina said that one of their wish was to that Tatiana go to private school. Well, I have to say she's in private school and she's doing very well. And I'm gonna have Safina's sister, Lisa, Tatiana's auntie say a few things.
Hello, everybody. It's going to be quick because I don't really have anything prepared. Although, when I'm driving or home alone, I always have tons and tons of thoughts about this whole situation. What happened to Oscar has changed me as a person forever. It's changed me in a good way. And it's also opened up my eyes to issues that I never knew were there. And things that my brother, growing up in Livermore, had mentioned or talked to me about, or my mother, and I want to say I never 100% believed him. And I feel very guilty for that. Harassment from police officers and wanting to tell the stories in the back of my mind, I would kind of judge and think, well, you know, what'd you do to ask for it kind of thing. But since it's happened, that's why I feel guilty, because I know my brother was telling the truth. So as a person with all the passion that I carry about this whole situation, I haven't really come to a point to know what to do with it yet, or at least what God wants me to do with it, because I am a Christian and I serve God with my whole heart and I've given my life over to Him, and ultimately what I do with my life has to be His will. But I know there is a purpose for it, He just hasn't revealed it to me yet. So my main part in this whole thing is a lot of prayer, and I stand with the family in believing that justice will be served. I know that, and I believe that we serve a just God. One quick thing that I want to share that brought me a lot of peace about the situation, and I shared this with Jack on the phone recently. I was crying in my car, and I was praying, and in my mind, I was thinking of my sister and the hurt that she, the pain that she's going through, my niece, all the guys on the platform that night and what they must be feeling and having to live with and think about and the guilt they probably carry. And it was breaking me, but I really feel like my spirit was interceding for them. I was carrying part of the pain that they were feeling, but I was asking God, why, you know, why, in my mind, and I'm sobbing. And I heard a small, still voice in my spirit say There is no greater love than a man who would lay down his life for a friend. And I really believe that part of what happened that night was because Oscar was stepping up to the plate trying to protect his friend, and he became a target. So.
Thank you. Before you go, you had a question?
Just a brief comment and a question.
Okay.
You know, one thing I think history will teach us, whether it's here in the United States or in Palestine or elsewhere, is that the system only understands the consequence. It was the consequence that got the retrial from Simi Valley back into Los Angeles in the Rodney King case. And we know what forms of consequences can take, and I won't mention those, but we also, there are also other forms of consequences can take that we must issue, and we have to be creative and direct about that. In a small, small way, I issued a consequence when I wrote the Daily Planet commentary, the Karmic Justice of Lavelle Mixon's Act, because I showed that I had the privilege and was willing to talk back to the system and let the system know, the way you kill us, we're not crying over four dead cops, and there should have been five, and I said it. So I just want to let us know, we have to be creative and let the system know that there's going to be a consequence, because merely peaceful, and all consequences don't have to necessarily be violent, but merely peaceful, we shall overcome, is not going to cut it. My question is, for those of us who haven't had a chance to read the reasons why the trial was moved outside of Alameda County, I know you said it was very long, but are there any particularly ironic sentences about why the trial was moved? I mean, one that I heard of was that because of the history of police brutality in Alameda County, we have to move this trial out of Alameda County. So I was just wondering, is there any other ironic sentences in there?
There are a few. I haven't read it in its entirety. I've actually only read a few pages of it. But what stood out, because in order to get a change of venue, there's six factors that must be looked at. You know, of course, we know one is the individual's prominence in the community, or the officer's prominence in the community. You know, of course, media hype and all that going on, the threat of violence, and it was two or three others. I can't remember specifically. I could probably talk about it, but I care not to. But what stuck out for me was that this case was, the motion to change the venue was decided based on the media. Matter of fact, I can share this with you really quick. Number three, and these are the facts and findings of the case, but I'll start at number three because this became the most prominent and the most reasonable reason why he made the decision that he made. Print media coverage of this case has been massive in scope. It says 18 San Francisco Bay Area newspapers published 1,867 articles covering this case between January 1st and August 31st. That's 2009. These 18 newspaper account for the vast majority of the newspaper circulation in the San Francisco Bay Area. And then it talks about the exhibits 2, 3, 4 to the Declaration of Michael Rain. Okay, the parties stipulated that for the largest newspaper in the Bay Area published an additional 70 articles between September 1st and October 7th. You know, and I can go on to read. And what was really emphasized was the community, politicians, and of course this idea of the threat of violence. And all the other avenues wasn't, you know, and again I haven't read in detail, but for what I've seen so far and what I know, wasn't alluded to like this part about us as a people coming together and voicing our voice when we see an injustice. To me, it's a direct attack on our right to freedom of speech, to talk about or express our feelings about an injustice that occurred. You know, and I am adamant about this. There's nothing I would have changed about what has transpired from January 1st until today. You know, we cannot give up our right to freedom of speech because of fear that if I share my pain with the community and they begin to speak a little loud about it, they may take my case and move it somewhere else, and thereby make it harder for the family. Then what voice do we have?
That's right.
That's right.
What voice do we have?
That's right.
I'm not willing to give that up. And I knew from the beginning, because it was talked about, that maybe you might not need to put a mic or speak into a mic, or you might not need to participate in some of the community issues that are going on concerning this case. You know, it might have been suggested, or I shouldn't say these are not mics, but it has been suggested that, you know, be quiet. You know, but how can I be quiet when a person that I love, my nephew, was killed? You know, and that's the reason why I wanted Tony to come up for a minute, because Tony has been a tremendous advocate, and I want him to share about some of the activist groups that's been involved, this community council that we put together, from his brains, that involved in taking a look at the issues that we were facing, strategizing different things that we can do as a community to help win this case. Tony, just come up.
Thank you. Wow, this movie tonight really touched me, touched my heart. I know it's touched all y'all hearts, you know. But I saw it before. It's the second time I saw it. It just really touches me. I knew Oscar, you know, he played sports with my son in Hayward. And Gerald is here. You know, I was out there living in Hayward. And, you know, so it's real close to me, you know what I mean? It hit home. And, you know, when it happened, I just wanted to, like, get folks together, because I've been working on these issues for a long time. And, you know, my job has took me in a lot of different places. But when this happened, I just knew that there was a lot of folks, still good folks that was around, like Berkeley Cop Watch, Andre and Pritchard. It was a lot of folks that was still around in the movement that we just needed to get back together in a room. So I'm just going on what has already been laid down, you know, the history and the tradition here in the Bay Area as far as organizing. And I just figured that if we put all these folks in the room, we're going to come up with something. And then we, you know, Cam start coming around, and all these folks is just real brilliant and just real good folks, you know, and I learn every day from them. It ain't like that I have the answers. It's just that I know how to get people together, and then we figure it out together. And that's when the miracle happens. And just like I like what JR said, it's like we gonna make them regret that they moved to somewhere else, because now we have opportunity to engage other people in other parts of California. And we just gonna keep building this movement so that if this ever happens again, then we have all these people that we can connect with. Because it may not be the last time that this happens, because they are so arrogant, they're so arrogant, and they get away with so much that they feel they have a license to kill people, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And it's going to take us to change that, you know what I mean? So we're going to make them regret that they're moving it somewhere, because we're just going to organize down there. We're going to be in buses, we're going to go where we've got to go, and we're going to keep working.
Thank you, Tony. You know, it's just amazing how God has actually put this together, because I didn't know Tony before the incident, but yet we were family, because his son, I knew his son Daigle, but his son was Oscar's partner, where they hung out, you know, and here we are pulled together because of this tragedy.
All of us.
Jack, Nigel, and we were so close, but I didn't know Jack. But he was like my son. Oscar was like his son, but we didn't know each other. You know, so maybe I'm speaking to the men in these rooms. I mean, because the mothers, they know how to love. But, you know, to us men in these rooms, especially us African-American men, you know, we have to step up and be fathers to these nephews and to our sons' partners, you know, and show them the right way to go. You know, be an example for them on how to live. You know, Jack done that for Oscar. I've done that for Nigel. You know, in the absence of his father, in the absence of me, you know, we've looked out for these young kids and spoke life into their life. And that's what this life is all about, is speaking life into those that yet have to travel the journey of this life.
Tony, like all the kids love Tony, but they all know Tony. All the kids know Tony, you know, all our kids, so there's a big connection, you know, so.
You know, I want to, you want to say something?
Go ahead, finish.
I really want to just thank everybody that has actually come out tonight to share this experience with us. We are planning to celebrate Oscar's life every year, of course, on the 1st. You know, so we will be putting something together.
January 1st, okay.
So if you have ideas, if you know someone that can help do something so that we can keep this movement alive, share it with Jack, share it with myself, or, you know, someone so they can get back to us, and we'll look at doing something so we can begin to bring more people together, because this really is about informing people about what they can do for their selves when it comes to some form of injustice occurring in their life. You know, many of us walk this life and have injustice occur and not know how to go about maneuvering through this process. We're learning as a family, you know, day by day, but I have to thank God, a lot of support from the community. I'd like to have Pat come back because there's a few announcements that she'd like to make concerning some events that's going to take place right here that if, you know, you may can come and participate in.
Did you have something first?
I just had a question. It was more pertaining to the legality of the case. Where do they plan on moving the case to, and when are they going to decide that?
Okay, so the question was, where will they move this case to, and who decides that? So, I'm no law student or legal expert, but for what I know, the motion was granted. So that means there's a change of venue, which now goes to a body of so-called administrative judges that take a look at this county and its demographics, how it's made up. And then they take a look at different counties throughout the state, and they try to connect a similar demographic county to Alameda County. So now, where is it possible that this case may go? Well, we don't believe it'll go to Santa Clara County, Contra Costa County, San Francisco, anywhere really local. But it could maybe go to Monterey, but is the demographics the same? Not necessarily. Mm-hmm. It's possible that it may go to Sacramento, because the last change of venue that did occur in the state of, in Alameda County, which I believe was in 1976, SLA, was moved to Sacramento. Okay, so Sacramento could be a candidate. It would be ideal for what we understand and know now that if it went to LA County. I mean, because one, we got a brother there, so we would have no issue. And two, LA County is more like us. So we know. I mean, the odds are against us in the fact that it could go to a, you know, a community or county that that may not favor the community as well as the police.
Right.
But, you know, all we can do is speak about the injustice and show up and enforce that the system be transparent in the decisions and actions that it takes. And that becomes real important, because if we didn't open our mouths, this case may not have gotten this far. We've had many victories. You know, we got this man charged for murder. We got through the preliminary hearing. We got the Myers-Nave report speaking what we already knew. We got the Nobles report speaking what we already knew. We got Bart on the edge concerning a citizen oversight review committee, which we know will pass eventually, but I mean sooner than many years later. You know, there's some issues that are being seriously addressed now. Tony Peroni is quiet as a cat. We're sure is on his way out. Woo! You know, it hasn't been given as a fact, but it's all written in the reports in themselves. And for public relations sake, it is our belief that Bart will make some changes in order to keep good faith. You know, they haven't been doing it very well, but they have been talking to us. You know, but I believe it's that, you know, when we show up and we speak about it, you know, at the BART board, if you hear about the BART board talking about oversight committee, you know, if you're not working, you got time, show up, because they have actually started a dialogue with the community. They're seeking input from us and what they need to change, and we have been given an opportunity to express that, and that's what we're doing. Is there any other questions?
And I'm just going to point out, there's a hearing in Sacramento on Tuesday to deal with citizen oversight.
So, as David said, there's a hearing Tuesday that deals with oversight. Also, thank you, David. David is our media. Uncensored. IndieBay.org. If you want to know what's happening with this community, what's happening with this case, go to Indie.org. Also, every Saturday, faithfully, ever since this thing been going on, even really before that, at Olivet Baptist Church on,
27th. Just a few blocks off of Telegraph.
We have a town hall meeting that starts at 4. It lasts about hour and a half.
Or around 4.
Yeah, start around 4:30, but it's very informative. You know, if you become keen to know what's happening and how things are moving along, we share updates pretty regularly, and it's a meeting place too, also to keep people informed on just what's going on. You know, so there's many different things that's going on that can help us just stay active.
So Cameron mentioned the two Campaign to End the Death Penalty events that are happening in this space. This art exhibit is happening through the end of October. Tomorrow, Barbara will be here with us with the republished books from Stan's children's books. You can come join us tomorrow at 4. Next Friday night, we're going to have a live from death row. You can come and hear Kevin Cooper from San Quentin, ask him a question. There'll be a Q&A. There'll be updates on his case. And then thirdly, I'd like Barbara to say a little bit about mobilizing the movement for justice. It's December 12th, which is?
It's the fourth anniversary of the torture murder of Stanley Tookie Williams. So it's our fourth annual Stanley Tookie Williams Legacy Summit. So we always try to do something politically significant on that day, so it's not to allow the state of California to ever sort of move blithely through that day as if it didn't happen. So this year we are doing something pretty extraordinary, as we did last year. We'll be at Merritt College in the Huey P. Newton Bobby Seale Student Lounge, which is a fabulous facility if you've not been there. And our theme is mobilizing the movement for justice and three innocent men on death row, and that would be Troy Davis and Kevin Cooper and Mamiya. And we're going to have messages. We're going to hear from all of them. Kevin, hopefully live, and the others through a recorded message. So we have a lot of things we're going to show, some of the memorial that that you saw of the for Oscar Grant, and Jack's going to be there, and Martina is coming, Troy Davis's sister, so she's flying in from Georgia, from Savannah. And so we're going to, it's going to be an interesting and powerful day, so we hope to see you all there. And it's from, oh yeah, okay, she's reminding me of everything. Last year, our event, it was called What's Really Happening on California's Death Row. And we surveyed, it's a miracle that we actually got the surveys in about the human rights violations going on death row, and some of the death row prisoners actually got the answers to the surveys out of the prison, and we had folks read what they said was going on to them and what was happening with them. And what I can say is this, I've read the report that the International Committee of the Red Cross wrote about the 14 so-called high-value detainees at Guantanamo Bay and how they were tortured, and the similarities between what's happening that we supposedly, in America, we don't torture, that we supposedly are all upset about in terms of what's happening at Gitmo, which we should be upset, but we should also be upset over the fact that it's happening right here in the United States. And those surveys proved it, and people were crying. We had over 500 people there, and they were crying. It was just so moving. So one of the things we promised the death row prisoners who participated in this is that we would not let this stand. And so we are putting a report together. We will release it at that event. We're sending it to the United Nations High Commissioner on Human Rights. We are sending it all over the world. So if the report that was written about what was happening to the Guantanamo Bay folks caused a stir, wait until the world finds out what we're doing right here in the Bay Area and San Quentin, and it's not just here, but that's where we got the testimonies. So it's heartbreaking and it's shocking, but it's the truth, and we're going to get it out. Okay, thank you.
Okay, well, that pretty much conclude this opportunity.
Oh, we have some more announcements.
Oh, okay. So just a few more announcements.
Hi, I'm Celeste. I'm from Art for Democratic Society. We collaborated with Campaign to End the Death Penalty to put on this art show and to put on these events. And I'd like to first thank Rock, Paper, Scissors for hosting us here. It's a volunteer-run collective, so nobody's getting paid to be here and sit here and make sure that we have everything we need. Just wanted to bring your attention to a couple of things. The first thing is about a project that we're doing, Art for Democratic Society. It's called American Nightmare, and you should have a sheet on your seat. What we're doing is collecting stories of different American nightmares, and what we're doing right now is police brutality, criminal justice system. So if you have any horror stories about prisons, about being harassed by cops, I'm sure some of you in this room do, we'd love to have you share it with us, and so you can just fill out this form and give back to me, or you can contact us through email or on our website. It's a4ds@earthlink.net or a4ds.org. And the last thing is about Gary King's memorial. Paul, did you want to talk about this? It's your room.
I'm not prepared at all.
Well, if you haven't heard, the memorial that Paul here made for Gary King was recently painted over, which is tragic. It was a really lovely memorial. I'm sure all of you have seen it. It was on the BART on Martin Luther King. So they're organizing to pressure the city to basically get the opportunity to put it back up. So do you have anything you wanted to add to that?
No, just if you're interested in helping us getting the mural back up, to focus more on the emails and calling. I guess the letters aren't as effective. We just want to blockade their phones for a while to get them annoyed so that they don't buff the mural when it goes back up again.
So again, we just want to just thank everybody for coming and showing up.
Thank you.
You know.
One more announcement? Are there any others?
No. One more is just that October 22nd, this Thursday, is the National Day of Protest against Police Brutality and Repression. It's happening in downtown Oakland from 12 to 3 Ogawa Plaza, followed by a little march, I believe, to the police station. There's also something happening on 71st International at 4, where Brownie Polk was murdered. Thank you.
All right, and I'd just like to thank everybody once again.